Welcome to The Deep Dive. Today we're tackling a really important intersection of health. How your sleep and your heart health are connected. Especially if you've recently gone through, a significant cardiac event. You shared some compelling research with us that digs into the molecular reasons behind this, and honestly, it's pretty eye-opening.
Absolutely. What we're zeroing in on is the relationship between obstructive sleep apnea, or OSA, and the likelihood of experiencing another cardiovascular event, like a heart attack or stroke. This is particularly relevant for individuals who've just had their first acute coronary syndrome, or ACS.
ACS, right.
And didn't have a prior history of heart problems. The study you brought to our attention really gets down to the biological mechanisms at play.
Exactly. And at the core of our discussion is a detailed look at a post-hoc analysis from the ICICC study published in the Archivos de Bronconeumologia. Now, think of this post-hoc analysis as, like, the researchers going back to the original data with a new specific question in mind. In this case, they examined blood samples from patients who had that initial ACS, subsequently had more cardiovascular events, and categorized them based on whether they had OSA or not. Then they took a deep dive into the proteins in their blood.
And our goal today is to unpack what this analysis uncovered. For you, especially if you're interested in understanding how different aspects of your health influence each other and how, your sleep might impact your heart after an event like an ACS, this is going to provide some really valuable insights. We'll try to break down the science and highlight what's most important without getting bogged down in overly technical language.
Okay, so before we get into the specifics of the study, let's make sure we're all on the same page. What exactly is OSA, and why is it already something that doctors consider when thinking about heart health?
Well, obstructive sleep apnea is actually quite common, affecting maybe 20 to 30% of adults. It's characterized by repeated episodes where your upper airway becomes blocked or collapses during sleep. The severity is typically measured by the apnea hypopnea index, or AHI.
AHI, got it.
Which counts the number of these breathing interruptions you experience each hour of sleep.
Right. So it's more than just like loud snoring and feeling a bit tired the next day. It's a real physical event happening.
Precisely. OSA is known to have a significant impact on your overall quality of life and can increase your risk for a range of health issues, including metabolic problems like diabetes, neurological conditions, and very importantly for our discussion, cardiovascular problems. In fact, a considerable percentage of individuals who already have cardiovascular disease, somewhere between 40 and 60%, also have OSA.
Wow, 40 to 60%. That's a pretty significant overlap. So we already know there's a connection between OSA and existing heart conditions. But this particular study focused on a very specific group of individuals, right?
That's correct. The researchers specifically looked at patients who were experiencing their first acute coronary syndrome and had no prior history of cardiovascular disease. Previous research had suggested that this particular group might be, well, more susceptible to the cardiovascular consequences linked to OSA.
Okay, so first ACS, no prior heart problems. And within that group, the study then looked at who went on to have further cardiovascular events. So the question for you is, were there differences based on their OSA status that might explain why some people experience these recurrences?
Exactly. That's the crux of this post-hoc analysis. It focused on those individuals within that specific first ACS, no prior CVD history group, who unfortunately went on to experience recurrent cardiovascular events. The researchers wanted to see if there were any links to their OSA status that could shed light on why this happened.
Okay, so how did the researchers actually go about investigating this? What did the study design involve?
Well, during their initial hospitalization for the acute coronary syndrome, these patients underwent respiratory polygraphy. Think of this as a type of sleep study. It can be done either at home or in the hospital sometimes. It monitors things like your breathing patterns, oxygen levels during sleep, that sort of thing. And they also had blood samples taken at this time.
And then they compared different groups of these patients based on the results of those sleep studies.
Precisely. They primarily focused on two groups, defined by their apnea hypopnea index, the AHI. The first was a non-OSA group, meaning their AHI was less than 15 events per hour.
Okay, relatively clear breathing.
Right. The second group consisted of those with untreated severe OSA, defined as an AHI of 30 or more events per hour. Now, this is important. Patients who were already using CPAP therapy for their sleep apnea were excluded from this analysis.
Okay. Why exclude them?
Because the researchers specifically wanted to isolate the effects of untreated severe OSA. If someone's already treating it, it complicates the picture, right? You don't know if the effects are from the OSA or the treatment or lack thereof.
Right. That makes sense. So they're comparing people with no significant sleep apnea to those with pretty severe but unmanaged sleep apnea, all of whom had a first ACS and then another cardiovascular event. And then they analyzed their blood samples. What were they looking for there?
Exactly. The researchers analyzed 276 different proteins in the blood plasma that are known to be involved in cardiovascular function and inflammation. This comprehensive analysis of proteins is called proteomics. It's like getting a detailed fingerprint of the proteins floating around to see what's different between the groups.
276 proteins.
Yeah.
Wow. Okay, so this is where we get to the really interesting part. What did they find when they compared the protein levels between these two groups? What stood out?
Well, the study identified 24 plasma proteins that were present at different levels between the severe OSA group and the non-OSA group. That in itself is a significant finding, suggesting that severe untreated sleep apnea is associated with, you know, distinct biological differences in these individuals.
Okay, 24 differences, but it gets even more specific, doesn't it? These protein differences weren't just random. They seemed connected to how severe the sleep apnea actually was.
That's right. That's the key linkage.
Yep.
Of those 24 proteins, 18 showed a significant association with various parameters that indicate the severity of OSA as measured during the sleep study. These parameters included the AHI itself, but also the oxygen desaturation index, ODI, which tells us how often oxygen levels in the blood drop significantly during sleep. They also looked at the lowest oxygen saturation, the average saturation, and the percentage of sleep time spent with oxygen saturation below 90%, sometimes called CT90.
So for you listening, someone may be recovering from a first heart event. This suggests that the severity of your sleep apnea could directly correlate with specific biological markers in your blood. It's not just an on-off thing.
Exactly. It's graded. The worse the sleep apnea, according to these measures, the more these protein levels seem to be affected.
And were these proteins mostly higher or lower in the severe OSA group? What was the general trend there?
The vast majority, actually. 16 out of those 18 OSA-related proteins were found to be elevated in patients with severe OSA. Only 2 of these proteins were lower compared to the non-OSA group.
16 out of 18 higher. Okay, so that strongly suggests that severe untreated OSA might be linked to an increase in the production or release of specific proteins in the blood, like the body's reacting in some way.
Precisely. It points towards some kind of systemic response.
Okay, so we have these 18 proteins that seem to be linked to how severe someone's sleep apnea is, and mostly they're higher in those with severe OSA. But what do these proteins actually do? This is where we start to understand the underlying mechanisms of how sleep apnea might be impacting heart health after a cardiac event, right? What's going on biologically?
Exactly. This is the really fascinating part. The researchers conducted what's called bioinformatic analysis on these 18 proteins to understand the biological pathways they're involved in. This is like looking at a map of how these proteins interact with each other and what processes they influence in the body.
Like connecting the dots between the proteins and what they're actually doing.
Right. So the core insight for you is that untreated severe sleep apnea after a first heart event isn't just about low oxygen. It's potentially kicking your immune system into overdrive, maybe disrupting vital cellular communication, all at a protein level.
And what kind of pathways were highlighted by this analysis? What were the major themes that emerged?
Several key pathways came up. Many were related to immune function, which makes sense, given that inflammation is often associated with OSA. They also found pathways involved in cell signaling how cells talk to each other and general inflammatory processes.
Inflammation keeps coming up.
It does. Other notable pathways included signal transduction, which transmits signals within and between cells, the regulation of apoptosis or programmed cell death.
Cell death, okay.
Stress response processes and even hematopoiesis, which is the formation of blood cells.
Wow. That's a pretty diverse set of biological processes that seem to be affected. It's not just one thing. And where are these proteins typically found in the body? Does that give us any more clues? Did they look at that?
They did. Tissue analysis suggested that these proteins are generally expressed in the lungs, which is perhaps not surprising given that OSA directly affects the respiratory system during sleep. However, they were also found in other tissues throughout the body, indicating a more widespread systemic impact.
Systemic, yeah. That makes sense if it's affecting recurrent cardiovascular events. Now, the study also highlighted some specific proteins that seemed particularly interesting. Can we delve into a few of those and what their potential roles might be in this OSA cardiovascular event link? This is where things get really concrete, right? These individual proteins might hold clues to future treatments or maybe risk assessments for someone listening.
Absolutely. Several individual proteins stood out due to their known connections to OSA, the effects of low oxygen hypoxia, vascular inflammation, and other related conditions. For example, they highlighted TEC, PSGL1, ABP2, PSPD, and TNFA.
TNF-alpha, I've heard of that one. Inflammatory marker, right?
Exactly. And these others, TEC, PSGL1, ABP2, PSPD, they've all been linked in various ways to intermediate mechanisms in OSA and are seen as potential indicators of increased cardiovascular risk.
Okay. And there were also a couple of proteins that were lower in the OSA group. What might that signify?
Yes, STK4 was one of those. It's known to be involved in cardiovascular remodeling changes in the structure of the heart and blood vessels. So its lower levels in severe OSA patients might suggest altered remodeling processes, perhaps not in a good way.
Altered remodeling.
Yeah.
What about the others they mentioned? I think there was DCR1 and MMP10. What roles do they play?
Yeah, DCR1 and MMP10 are interesting because they've been implicated in the progression of atherosclerosis. That's the buildup of plaque in the arteries and also inflammation. DCR1 specifically has also been linked to inflammation triggered by low oxygen levels, which is very relevant to OSA.
Right.
And MMP10, that's a matrix metalloproteinase, it can stimulate both the development and the complications of these atherosclerotic plaques, maybe making them less stable.
Oh. Less stable plaques, that's definitely not good. So what's striking for you, if you're listening, is that many of these proteins, whether they're elevated or lower in the OSA group, seem to converge on processes we know are bad for the heart. Things like increased inflammation, the hardening of arteries, and even the stability of existing plaques.
Precisely. It paints a picture of multiple pathways potentially contributing to risk.
And FLT3L, that sounds a bit technical. What's its significance here?
FLT3L, yeah, it's involved in enhancing the early proliferation of blood cells. But it has also been linked to both inflammation and apoptosis, which, as we mentioned, is that programmed cell death. Then there's HOSCAR, which plays a role in immunity and inflammation, too.
It really does sound like a lot of these proteins are pointing towards increased inflammation and a more active, maybe dysregulated immune system in those with severe untreated OSA after a heart event.
That's definitely a key theme that keeps emerging from this research, yeah.
Yeah.
They also mentioned TNFR, SF13B, and ARTK, which are thought to potentially contribute to the destabilization of atherosclerotic plaques, making them more prone to rupture and cause a cardiovascular event. And TRAILR2, another protein they found, is part of the NFKB pathway.
NF-kappa-B?
Yep, NFKB, which is known to be involved in both sleep regulation and the development of cardiovascular disease. So you see these connections forming.
Interesting. And we can't forget the classic inflammatory markers, right? Were any of those specifically implicated besides TNF-alpha?
Exactly. The study noted the dysregulation of cytokines like TNFD and also interleukins like IL-1, RL-2. These are well-known players in inflammatory pathways that can have significant consequences for the cardiovascular system. Finally, they mentioned VEGFD, BOC, and CTSL1, which have been shown to be involved in the remodeling of the heart itself.
Okay, so this study has identified a whole host of proteins that seem to be acting differently in people with severe, untreated OSA who have had a first heart event and then, unfortunately, another one. What are the big takeaways from this for how we understand this link between sleep apnea and recurrent heart problems? What does this mean for someone, you know, trying to manage their risk?
Well, I think these findings offer a potential glimpse into the molecular mechanisms through which OSA might actually increase the risk of recurrent cardiovascular events in this specific group of patients. It suggests that OSA isn't just like a passive risk factor sitting alongside others,
right,
but that it may be actively driving changes at a protein level that contribute to this increased risk.
So it's potentially part of the engine causing the problem, not just a passenger along for the ride. And could identifying these specific proteins have any practical implications down the line for how doctors might treat or monitor patients like this?
Absolutely. That's the hope. The identified proteins could potentially serve as targets for future therapeutic interventions. Imagine, you know, a drug that could modulate the activity of one of these key proteins, maybe dampen that inflammation or stabilize plaques. They might also become useful as biomarkers, maybe blood tests that could help us better predict which ACS patients with OSA are at higher risk of future events, allowing for more personalized and proactive management.
More tailored care. But it's important to remember, though, that this study doesn't definitively prove that OSA causes these protein changes or the increased risk of further events, right? It shows a strong association, but correlation isn't causation, as they say.
That's a crucial point to keep in mind, always. This was an observational study looking for associations in data already collected. However, the fact that they found such strong links between OSA severity and the levels of these specific proteins is certainly significant and definitely warrants further investigation to understand the cause and effect relationships. Is OSA driving the protein changes, or is there something else linking them? Probably the former, but you need more proof.
And the researchers themselves pointed out some limitations of the study, didn't they? Things that are important to consider when we're thinking about how broadly we can apply these findings.
Yes, they did. They were upfront about it. They highlighted that the study had a relatively small sample size, and it was conducted primarily in a male cohort in Spain.
Okay, so mostly men. Specific location.
Yeah, right. Therefore, the findings might not be directly generalizable to larger, more diverse populations, women, people of different ethnicities, different clinical backgrounds. They also mentioned that patients with excessive daytime sleepiness were excluded from the original ICC trial for ethical reasons. So these findings might be most applicable to non-sleepy OSA patients after ACS.
Interesting distinction.
Yeah. So more research is definitely needed to confirm these initial findings in broader populations.
Okay. So bringing it all together then, what's the key thing you think our listeners should take away from this deep dive into this research? What's the most important message for someone who's interested in this connection between sleep and heart health? Maybe someone who's experienced an ACS?
I think the main takeaway for you is that in individuals who've experienced their first severe cardiac event, the presence and, crucially, the severity of untreated sleep apnea are linked to specific alterations in blood proteins. These proteins aren't just random. They're heavily involved in fundamental biological processes like inflammation, immunity, and how cells communicate. This strongly suggests that OSA might be exerting its influence on cardiovascular risk at a very fundamental molecular level in this particularly vulnerable group.
It really is kind of an aha moment to realize that a sleep disorder, something happening while you're unconscious, can have such a profound and measurable impact on the very building blocks of our biology. These proteins circulating in your blood potentially setting the stage for future heart problems. And the fact that they've pinpointed these specific proteins, it opens up some really exciting possibilities for future understanding and maybe management of this risk.
Precisely. And it leaves us with some important things to ponder, you know. Given these molecular connections, what are the implications for how we approach screening and treatment for sleep apnea in people who've just had their first acute coronary syndrome? Should screening be more routine? Should treatment be more aggressive?
Yeah.
Could we one day monitor these specific protein levels to gain a more personalized understanding of their ongoing cardiovascular risk and tailor their care accordingly? Maybe use it to see if CPAP is actually reducing the risk markers? This study really underscores the complex and interconnected nature of our bodily systems and encourages us to look beyond just the traditional risk factors like cholesterol and blood pressure when it comes to heart health, especially after an event. It makes you wonder, doesn't it, how many other seemingly disparate health conditions might be linked through these intricate molecular pathways that we're just starting to uncover?
Thank you.